What's going on, Bucks fans? Welcome to Buccaneer Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. And as always, we're going to be taking all of your questions, thoughts, comments, all that stuff. You can submit it on Facebook under the live video that is streaming right now. So go ahead and start getting some of those in. Love to hear all of your questions. Now is a really exciting time of year. We got the mini camp going, which means everyone is in the building, which is always a great feeling as people have kind of gone and done their own things throughout the whole offseason to finally see the entire team here. All at one buck place. So I wanted to know, for you going into minicamp, what were the big storylines and things that you were going to be watching for?
Well, first thing was attendance. You know, this is the only mandatory, other than the rookie minicamp for the rookies, mandatory part of the offseason. And so, you know, you look around the various sports sites as all these teams are headed into their minicamps, and you see little things here and there where teams don't have a key player, and right. You know, it's not the end of the world, but it's not a good situation. So
yeah,
the lack of drama for us was nice. Everybody was here. I counted only 7 guys that weren't practicing right now due to injuries, so that's not a whole lot. So you got 84 guys on the field. That's pretty good. The only 3 injuries of any note, and they are important because we're talking about starters here or potential starters, are DeMar Dotson. Coach seemed to – he said something along the lines of he thought he'd be ready for the regular season. Mm-hmm. And J.R. Sweezy, who's a lot bigger of a question mark, and then Kendall Beckwith. And we don't know yet what his timetable is from that ankle fracture he got in an auto accident. But that's pretty good. You're always going to have somebody hurt. But overall, I think the roster health is really good.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And then looking at – I know that offensive line was an area that speaking of some of those injuries that, you know, we didn't really know J.R. Sweezy's status. And so hearing – I think for me, that was one of the things I wanted to see a lot of is who was at what positions, who were some of the backups for things. So what have we already been able to learn in that front as this week has started?
Well, one thing that was nice was when practice started, the first practice of camp started on Tuesday, Donovan Smith was in there, which he'd been sitting out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have him in there. But with Donovan Smith and DeMar Dotson out for a while during this offseason, the younger guys have gotten to fill in a lot. And apparently you've seen a lot of Leonard Westard at right tackle and Cole Gardner at left tackle. Yes, I think that's right. And that's obviously really good reps for Leonard Wester, who really hasn't had a ton of playing time yet but has been with the team for a couple of years. But apparently Cole Gardner has been the biggest surprise. That's the way the coach referred to him. And, you know, you're always going to need to develop depth. And the Buccaneers have been fortunate, or I guess good planning in recent years, to have developed an offensive line. And even though overall the results weren't as good as we expected last year, the good veteran depth was there. So when a lot of guys went down at the end of the year, you had guys you could count on, like an Evan Smith, Joe Holly, who's now retired. Caleb Benenach now is one of those guys, although he may end up starting. So, you know, you find a guy like Cole Gardner, he could eventually be important depth. I mean, you get guys on the offensive line from time to time from the undrafted ranks. It's just it's hard the way college and the pros are now, and the way you don't really get to do any contact in the offseason. It's hard to develop those guys, and sometimes it's hard to judge how good they're going to be, right?
Yeah, that's a great
I mean,
point.
I can think of a guy. There's a guy that's gotten a couple big contracts recently named Mike Remmers, you know, Panthers, I think, Vikings. He started out here as an undrafted guy, so it can happen.
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, it's early. You know, you say he's a surprise right now, but maybe that's a guy to keep an eye on, Cole Gardner.
Okay. And Jimmy wanted to know if we've been able to tell anything about how Ronald Jones looks.
Well, yeah, to some extent. I mean, he does look fast and explosive. He does look shifty. You know, every run in a practice, in an off-season practice, is a 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
So it's not really going to be totally obvious until we get to camp and then especially the preseason games. But there's certainly been nothing wrong. He does look like an explosive guy. I know John Spytek was on Good Morning America the other day.
Good
Morning Football. Yeah, that would be weird.
That would be very impressive.
That'd be a lot of attention on Buccaneers football.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, maybe after you win the Super
Bowl. That's true. That's our new hope.
But he was saying that Ronald Jones brings an element to this offense that they haven't had since he's been here, and that's been since 2016. But there really haven't been big plays, especially in the running game, in the last few years, and that's the element. That's the reason he was drafted. So, you know, hopefully that's what he's going to provide.
Yeah. Tito asked if you guys see Vernon Hargraves moving to the slot position more.
Well, we see it for sure on the practice field this offseason and in this mini camp. That's where he's primarily been playing. It's been said that he's going to get a shot to compete on the outside as well. And, you know, he could, if he does it as well as he possibly can, he could end up in that Rondé Barber type role where you start in the outside on base packages and move inside in the nickel, and then somebody like a Ryan Smith or a Carlton Davis comes in to replace him on the outside. But I think the most obvious thing that he's doing well right now is playing well in the slot. And, you know, I've had occasion to tweet about that from time to time, tweet some good things. He had a pick the other day. And you get some people responding with, man, you know, a first-round pick 2 years ago, and he's playing in the slot. But, you know, you can't really worry about those things at this point. You can't – you got to just pick the best players for the best positions. And if he's the best player to play in the slot and that's what he can do to help the team the most, that's what he should do. And don't worry about where the origin was. And also, it's really not – some kind of demeaning demotion or anything. The nickel corner is on the field a ton, and it's a very important position.
More often than not.
Yeah, more often than not.
Yeah, that's
true. About 60%. And think of all the receivers in the league who are piling up big numbers out of the slot. A guy like Jarvis Landry, you've got to have somebody that can do that. And then maybe if you can take that guy and also find out if he has some blitz capabilities like Rondae Barber used to do. I know I keep bringing that name up. But it's an important job.
Yeah,
and so it shouldn't be considered a demotion or anything.
Yeah, that's a great point. Roger and Timothy both asked if our secondary looks improved and so much, and especially maybe the safety position overall, how the entire secondary is looking.
The secondary looked really good in the Tuesday practice, I thought. I thought the defense did a lot better than the offense on that day, and since this is a non-contact practice, and a lot of this was also in 7-on-7. It's really, if the defense is doing really well, it's because the secondary is doing really well, because you're not pressuring the quarterback or anything. And I thought they looked really good. I know there's been rave reviews about Carlton Davis. Jordan Whitehead just recently returned from an injury, so there's not a real whole lot of body work on, you know, to talk about there yet. But yeah, so far I think the secondary's looked really good. I think a thing that made an obvious difference this week was the return of Brent Grimes. I mean, he's still the same freakish athlete out there. He looks great. I saw him make a great extending play to break up a play in the end zone, a pass to, I think it was to Deshaun in a red zone drill. And the three plays before that, we'd had a really great catch by O.J. Howard in the back of the end zone, and then two Mike Evans touchdowns, so the offense was killing it. Mm-hmm. And finally, Brent Grimes stepped up and made a play for the defense on the fourth play. So it was a nice moment, but Brent Grimes makes a difference out there, you can easily see.
Yeah, that's true. Another topic a lot of people have been wondering about with minicamp, Kevin asked, has Jameis's deep ball improved in the practices he's been involved in?
I've seen some good ones and some that aren't there yet. Deshaun Jackson actually was just talking about that today, and he seemed to be feeling pretty optimistic about it. One thing that he was focusing on was that he was saying Jameis has done a whole lot of work in the offseason to get that shoulder that he injured back to full strength, and he says you can tell the difference that he's back to full arm strength now on his deep balls. But there's still some timing to work out there.
Okay. Justin and Michael both asked about Chris Godwin, and I've seen a few other people asking about it. Is he going to have a bigger role this year, and is he going to be starting on the outside with D-Jax in the slot, or how all that's going to shake out with our wide receiver group?
The first thing I can say about Chris Godwin is I think we're going to be talking about Chris Godwin a lot. So get used to taking these questions, because practically every day after practice, coaches ask about Chris Godwin, and any other players that they bring up there, like Deshaun today, are asked about Chris Godwin. And it's because, as Coach Cutter said yesterday, you know, he was explaining to the media, who had really only been out like one of every three or four OTA practices, he said, you didn't see all the other practices, but every day Chris Godwin looks great. Every single practice, Chris Godwin looks great. And there comes a point where if that translates into looking great in games like it did at the end of last season, you're just simply not going to be able to keep him off the field. You can't just have that great weapon and not use him. So they'll find a way. I really think you can find a way to distribute the ball between all four of those receivers. And it's going to be probably going to be a little bit of what you said, with some guys taking little bits and pieces from other guys' roles. Like if Deshaun were to play some in the slot, that takes away a little bit from Adam Humphries, right?
Right.
I think you're going to have Mike Evans on the field almost all the time. But then there's also injuries, and Chris can play all three of those positions. So they'll find a way to use him. Is Deshaun going to be used more in the slot with Chris on the outside? You know, he was asked about that today, and he said, you know, that now they're putting in the whole playbook. You're really not going to know until you get to strategizing and game planning for games if that's going to be the case or not. But he says he's happy to play out of any of the positions.
Yeah, which is great. Mark wanted to know if you can tell if MJ Stewart or Carlton Davis is impressing more so far.
Well, I would have to say Carlton Davis, and I don't want it to be an indictment of MJ Stewart. It's just that Carlton Davis has been getting a lot of first-team snaps before Brent Grimes came back and Ryan Smith came back from his injury, which he did this week. And so he's been on the field playing outside cornerback with the first team a lot, whereas MJ is probably first being tried in the slot. And we've had Vernon Hargraves here and other guys like JV and Elliott who play in the slot as well. So he hasn't been getting as much obvious playing time that, you know, especially for the naked eye, just not a trained scout like myself standing on the sideline, you're going to see Carlton Davis with the first team split out wide a lot. So, and he's been talked about a lot and been getting a lot of praise. So the answer to the question is Carlton Davis, but I don't want that to be interpreted as MJ Stewart's doing anything wrong.
Okay, yeah, that's a great point to make. Jared wants to know, is Noah Spence going to be used more as a situational rusher now that we have JPP?
Oh, for sure.
And Golston is strong on early downs.
I think that's exactly the reason the Buccaneers drafted Noah Spence in the first place. I think that's what they wanted to do with him in his rookie year, but there were so many injuries that he ended up playing a lot more on first and second down, non-passing situations, and did pretty well, better than expected against the run. And then last year, you know, most of that season was lost due to injury. But that's, I think that's always been the plan for Noah Spence, and now you've got the personnel to do it.
Right.
So absolutely, I think base formation, JPP, if he lives up to form, hardly ever comes off the field.
Yeah.
So he'll be on the field. The other starting in probably is Vinnie Curry. And then when you get in pass rushing situations, there's a lot of different ways you can move the guys around because of Vinnie Curry or Will Golston can also play inside. And we actually saw Will Golston getting some snaps inside the other day at practice. And so you can find ways to get Noah on the field, and I'm sure it would be as a situational edge rusher.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's what he's best at.
Yeah, that's true. And Darian said, do you see there being more aggressive defensive schemes this year with more bump and run coverage now that we have some bigger corners?
We answered this exact same question last week, and we won't know until we get there, but my guess would be yes, you will see a higher percentage of bump and run. I don't think you're going to see us convert completely to guys being up there on the line of scrimmage. You're still going to see plenty of zone. Our guys have been learning a lot of that here in the offseason because you can't really bump and run right now.
Yeah.
But really the only bigger corner that we've added is Carlton Davis. So just one guy.
Right.
I don't think you change your whole scheme because of that.
One guy, especially when he's a rookie and you don't really know what you're
doing. I mean, I'm sure they're going to want to utilize those skills because he has them.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
It doesn't change everything.
Jill wants to know, how are some of the new tight ends looking?
Well, I will say that after one of the practices in OTAs, Coach Cutter, I believe, was asked if any of the young guys stood out to him. It might have been Munkin. I don't want to put words in the wrong mouth. But one of the coaches was asked that. And without being really prompted, the names they came up with were the two undrafted tight ends, Tanner Hudson and
Donnie Ernstberger.
No, not him. Jason Reese.
Yes.
Missouri.
My Mizzou guy.
Yeah, Mizzou.
You're not allowed to forget that one.
He said those two had looked good. You know, it's early, obviously, but it's an interesting point because Anthony Auclair hasn't practiced since the beginning of last week because he hurt his ankle. Coach said it's not really a big deal in the long run, but he's not going to practice this week. So that's one more guy down and more reps for the two guys I said, and then Donnie Ernstberger, who I know was one of their big targets in undrafted free agency. So apparently they're off to a pretty good start, and that's interesting because you could see the Bucs keeping – they will definitely keep at least four of them. Considering that it's basically two starting positions on offense, you could see him keep him five. So
that's
if there's
true.
A guy like Anthony Auclair last year, they knew they weren't going to play him right away. He still had an adjustment to make, but they kept him because they're just, we're not going to let this talent go.
Yeah.
And then that could happen again.
Putting you on the spot with this one,
right.
Juan wants to know, how many sacks do you predict this season?
All right, for the team as a whole.
Yes.
2 years ago, we had 38, which was actually good for ninth in the league, and it was a bit of a surprise because I don't think anybody thought our pass rush was all that great that year. But it was still top 10 in the league. And then last year it plummeted to 22, which was last in the league. Now, there have been so many additions to that group that you got to believe it's going to be better, right? I got to go higher than 22. 38 was a good number, but I think they can do a little bit higher. I think it'd be a little bit too bold to go anywhere in the high 40s or 50s because that's just a phenomenal season, probably top two or three. So I'm going to say 41.
Okay, and then we'll close with this one. Tad says, who do you think will be starting in Beckwith's spot if he's not ready to go by the start of the season?
Right now it's Adarius Taylor, and that would be a good guess because they like him. He knows the defense well. He can play all three positions. He's a very steady guy that they can count on. But I wouldn't count out Devontae Bond either. I don't know if Jack Sitchie is really a strong side linebacker type. I really don't know the answer to that yet. He'd seem to be an obvious candidate. So right now I'd go with Adarius Taylor.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us on Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. As always, thanks so much for having fun with us here. Questions, comments, all that on Facebook. We're here every week. So make sure you're thinking of those throughout the week. By next week, we'll have finished all of the rest of minicamp and be starting our month and a half break before more football happens. So
we're going to really rely on questions.
We're going to really enjoy hearing all those hypothetical questions. Anything you got, make sure you start bringing that to us. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.